Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am to be with you for this radio program for January 22nd, 2017. I'm very grateful. We call it Satsang, a heart-to-heart communion. Other people call it the radio program, and that's perfectly fine. I want to remind you that these radio programs, like my TV programs on the website at aspire.org, are all available to you because of the loving generosity of my sponsors who have made them possible. It is through their gifts, their contributions, and their loving kindness that these programs are here for you. And I hope to goodness and to gracious that you're able to enjoy them, listen to them, watch the TV programs, and hopefully find some insight in there for yourself. My sponsors are very unique people. They see the bigger picture. They understand the nature of the work ever so slightly, but enough to understand the bigger picture of how it affects people. And I hope that one day you will become a sponsor and help us to sustain our radio program. Have you ever thought of what you've become in this world, what you've become of yourself, what has become of you? Well, a lot of people write me little emails and questions about these things. They're invited to do so, and so are you, of course. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you'll see there that there is a place for media. If you click on that, you'll see Satsang with Siraj. Of course, that's me. And you can offer your question at any time. Anyway, these people have offered some very interesting questions. I thought it would be fun, provocative, maybe just to look at them and maybe answer a few. So what have you become over the years of your life? What have you become? What has happened to you? First question comes from Kathy in Minnesota. She says, "My children say I've changed, and not for the good. A divorce, bankruptcy, and work issues have made my life very difficult. In fact, it has changed me. I guess I don't understand what I'm to do. How do I get back to my old self?" Kathy. Well, Kathy, you've certainly been through a lot of things. And you've had a lot of difficulties, obviously. And I am not going to say to you that that wouldn't change anyone, because it would. So the object of the effort here, as I always like to say, is to see things in a bigger way, in a bigger picture, in a more loving way. And if you do, if you're able to look at yourself for the way you were and for what you are, you'll be able to understand the nature of what you need to get back to inside yourself. You can't reinvent the old you. You can't reheat a souffle. It just can't be done. So you'll never, Kathy, be what you were. And I don't know what that was. I have no idea. But you can progress. You can unfold. You can change. You can change, or you can transcend. Now, changing is okay. That's what a lot of people do. They morph. They morph into the kind of person that they're dealing with in the form of the situation they're in. And when I am becoming the situation that I'm in, that's when it gets rather difficult and, of course, almost impossible. So the object is to transcend. Not to morph back into what you were, but to become more than what you were. To become the beautiful sense of awakening that lives within you. And if you do that, if you're willing to do that, that means that you're going to have to start looking at your emotionality. And here is the rub. People don't want to look at their emotionality. They just don't want to do it. People don't believe they can change their emotions. You can't. You can't change them, but you can transcend them. And they can go into a different place if you are willing. That means you don't have to live according to the manner of your emotionality and what you believe is your emotions' first, shall we say, urge or first kick. You don't have to do that. You can transcend emotionality. You can transcend the whole thing by realizing that the urges that surge through you to get angry or to be depressed or to live fearfully or to seek for hope but find none and then become depressed are all futile experiences. You have to be able to sit and be quiet for a little while and breathe. It is in your breath that you will find you change your life. How you breathe, and I'll tell you what to do. You breathe from your root chakra, your deep in your tummy, and you breathe up to your heart, and you hold, and then you release. Root to heart, and then release. Over and over, keeping your focus on your breath. Sometimes you might do it quickly. Sometimes you might just keep an even keel. It doesn't really matter. All you need to do is keep the rhythm going of your breath from root to the heart and then release. Like a very sweet feeling will come over you. This feeling is not emotional. This feeling is your authentic heart seeking to make its presence known in your life. So, as this starts to take place in you with your breathing, you could also be doing some catharsis work. And I offer catharsis here on the website at aspire.org. And there's all sorts of them. I think there's five of them you can use. You need to cathart. You need to get your anger up and out. You need to get your tears up and out. I cathart every day. There hasn't been a day gone by that I can remember in the last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years that I haven't done it. You have to cathart. You have to let your pain up. You have to let it out. You have to release it. Release it from your attentions. And pretty soon you start to realize as you do this that something beautiful is starting to happen to you. Something magnificent is starting to happen to you. You're starting to feel something you didn't feel before. This love, this kindness, this breath. It will open up a brand new world for you, I promise. But you have to stay with it, and you have to be consistent with it, Kathy. It can't just be something you do here and there. You have to get on a regimen. You have to be disciplined in that regimen. In the morning or in the afternoon, when you cathart, okay? Then during the day, you watch your breath. You keep yourself on that pattern of breath that I gave you. And you do this repeatedly all day long. And you replace your depression and your worry and your fear that you might have about whatever happened in your outer world, which is just a distraction. You have to understand that. It's merely a side path, a distraction. And you can't be distracted from doing the things that give you emotional control. You'll never be able to control your emotions. You want to walk away from them. You want to stand back from them. Because when I stand back from my emotionality, they change. The emotions change. They need my attention to become raucous. They need my attention to become unstable, irrational. Yeah. Boy, with people, it's very hard for them to deal with their emotionality. But should you do any and all of the little things I've suggested here, you will start yourself on a path that is very different from anything you've ever done before. You will start to feel a sense of a new awakening happening within you. And that awakening is about love. That awakening is about being loved. You will know you are love. And you will never be fooled by the circumstances and the conditions again. And then you can go a little deeper into the forest of a spiritual awakening and, and maybe you'll meditate. Maybe you'll start learning to meditate. Maybe you'll learn how to watch your breath, watch your thoughts, and become the observer. And if that occurs, then you will really find deep and profound changes. It's up to you. It does take practice. It does take effort. And some people call it work. I say it's essential. Essential to your well-being and essential to your life. Kathy, I hope this helps. If you ever need help, you can always call me. I'll be there. Just give me a buzz. You got my number. You see it on the website. And I'll be there to serve you. I'll do everything I can. Please forgive me. Namaste. A divorce, a bankruptcy, work issues. Wow. That's a lot to deal with. And I can understand how she might feel. Next one comes from Rhea. She does not tell me where she lives. I need to change, Greg. It is hard. How can any of us change for the best, really, when it's so difficult? Rhea. I don't know what you mean by change for the best. I don't know. The best what? The best you? How do you know what that best you is? The best circumstances? How do you know what your karma is? Everything is based on my karma and yours. And how we live in the mercy of our hearts determines the state of our life and the state of our own inner being. So, Rhea, I don't understand what you mean by change for the best, but I'm going to assume, make an ass of myself here, that what you basically mean is that you want to change and maybe find something better than the reactions you are falling for now and the difficulties you are having now. And I'm going to leave it at that, okay? That's how I'm going to look at it. So if that is the case, then let us look at it from the point of view, once again, just like I did Kathy, too much emotion. Emotions make me crazy. Emotions make me feel crazy. Emotions cause me to think of things that I really don't need to be thinking of, unkindness, vengeance, pride, vanity. And then I try to rationalize my evil by saying I had every right to do this and you deserve that. And all of this stuff goes around and around and around. And that's not what this is about. The change you need to make, probably, not knowing you, but hearing your email here, is the change from going from being highly emotional to that of being awakened, where you are not subject to the idea of emotionality, where you are subject to your heart, your authentic heart. And people don't know the difference between their emotionality and their authentic heart. The authentic heart is not seeking vengeance. It is not seeking fulfillment in pride. The authentic heart is simply love, unconditional love, as people like to call it. But there are conditions to love. Don't think there aren't. There are. There are conditions to being in love, as love. So the conditions simply are the discipline not to get all emotional and not to think in terms of emotionality all the time. This is something that most people just cannot do. They cannot do it. They will not do it. They don't believe they can do it. So they don't. But you can, okay? Let people have their point of view. Let people that hate you, hate you. Let people that have said unkind things about you say unkind things about you. Even if it's not fair, it's not right, it's not accurate, just let them do it. Don't get involved in the fight between yourself and another person, he said, she said kind of thing, because it never works and it's really foolish. The same thing could be said of people who say very kind things about you. Remember, nobody likes you anyway, and people think we're kind only when we're doing something for them that they think benefits them. That's the pedestrian mentality, and it is everywhere and present in most people's lives all over the place. So don't get involved in the idea that there are people who are angry at you and saying unkind things about you, or people who like you or love you are saying kind things about you. Treat them both the same. It doesn't matter. Know thyself. That's where you go with it. Know thyself. If you know yourself, you will know. And if you know where you're coming from, not what you're doing, but where you're coming from within yourself, that you're coming from love or you're coming from mercy or you're kind of indifferent to people's opinions about you, that is when you have come to a very strategic and loving place in your life where you can actually do something very beautiful. Something very loving, something very kind. You can change the way you operate from within yourself beyond the idea of the petty good, bad, right, wrong stuff that people want to lay on you. People are, they have no inner sense of where they are in this world, why they're in this world, what's going on with them. They have no inner sense about any of it. They don't get it. So they're going to come up with ideas and beliefs and theories about thee and me that have nothing to do with thee and me. It just has to do with their interpretation. Don't be fooled by that, Rhea, and start thinking that you are any of those things. You want to change for what you call the best. It would be better to change for the authentic. To be truly authentic in this lifetime means that you do not live according to the way other people want you to live, fulfilling their desires and their deals, whatever their deals are, their agendas. It doesn't matter. What you're here for is to be the expression of a deeper, higher love than you have ever known before. Dropping Rhea, me, dropping Greg. And just being in the ebb and flow of your heart and your soul. Being in the ebb and flow of life itself. It is so beautiful. It drowns out the stupidity of other people's opinions of you. Don't get involved in that. You don't need that. People will have hundreds and hundreds of things to say about you in the course of a lifetime. Some that are good and some that are not so good. Why worry about it? Everybody's got a beef with you, and everybody would like to think you're the most wonderful thing on the planet, depending upon what you're doing and why you're doing it for them. And once you kind of understand this, you'll understand that change comes naturally. This kind of change doesn't come because the chemistry in us and the genetics of us is pulling us down into the human, where the chemistry of your body and the mental state of your mind and the genetics that go along with it, along with the DNA, all combine to come to a certain place that when that chemistry hits, you gel into it. You coagulate into it. You coagulate into a person based on the body, its chemistry, its DNA. It's genetics, and that's all you do. You just keep doing that. You have to remember, this is not the way of your heart. Your heart is not about genetics. It's not about DNA, and it's not about chemistry. It is a spiritual quality, and most people do not come to any sense of the spiritual quality of their life at all. They totally miss it because they're so busy coagulating in their fear, their hate, their anger, their boredom. They can't come out of it. Don't let this happen to you. Live in love at all costs to your coagulation. That will be the big change in your life. You change from that, and you've done something miraculous in your life, something really miraculous, something beautiful, and it will change your life forever because you will be following your heart and not your body. The body only goes to one place, into the ground, into death. But you are something other than all of that. It's something for you to be with. Please forgive me. Namaste. That's a great question. She's very smart. Last question comes from Linda. No one loves me. People tell me they love me, but I can tell they don't. What do I do to get people to love me? I have become so angry, so sad, so depressed. Linda. Oh, Linda. You and so many. If you allow other people to guide your life, to determine how you're going to feel about yourself in this world, you're going to be a miserable, miserable person. And I don't know if you want to be a miserable person. A lot of people do. They like being in misery. They like being unhappy. It does something for them. It gives them a sense of their place. People like to be melancholy. I'm not one of those, but I also don't want to be happy all the time like people say they are or want to be, because that's no better than being melancholy. There is a middle road. It's called being insightful. It is called being aware. It is called being conscious. And if you're conscious and you're aware, you're going to find that love is actually living deep within you, coming out and maturating into the world. And you're going to find this giving of this beautiful love that lives within you causes you to live a life that is beyond the speculation of the ego's assumption that everyone should love you and like you or not. Don't fall into that trap. It's an ugly place to go. It's an ugly place to live. And so many of us fall for this because we just don't understand that we are here as love. We are not here as hate and fear. We are here as love. It's just the way it is. So to know the meaning of your life and to know the substance of your living, love has to be present. Love has to be there. It has to be there as a quality that you live in as consciousness. People who do not live by consciousness, people who do not strive after it, find themselves in a situation and predicaments where their life is like a snapshot of a picture. Click, click. And the only way they can look at their life is through the snapshots that they have taken of their whole entire life. Then they look at these pictures and they try to reminisce about where they were and remember where they were and what they were doing. You go take a picture of the Grand Canyon, snip, snip, you got that, okay? And then you put it in your book, your picture book, wherever it is, and you look at it and you try to make it real again. It's sad and pathetic what we do. But the real truth of the matter is, if you have consciousness and you see things when you're there, you really take it all in, it becomes a part of your whole entire life. Your entire life is that snapshot. You feel it. You can live it. And love will pour to you. You will find that this is what love is. Love doesn't come from other people. It comes from consciousness, from achieving a state of consciousness that is so beautiful that wherever you go, you are not only imbibing love, but you're giving love. This whole process is what I call mercy. And those who have a great sense of mercy have a great sense of life. And those who have a great sense of life are deeply and profoundly in love. Please forgive me. I hope that helped you in every way possible. I really do. And thank you for being a part of my radio program in this way. It was really lovely of you. Well, that's it for the day. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And thank you for a beautiful show. Thank my three questioners. And if you ever have a question or a comment, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org and go to media, pull down media. You will see Satsang, which is radio with Siraj, and you can listen to all sorts of wonderful things there. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, and I will see you next week here on this radio station. Namaste.